Welcome to lesson 12, pricing and positioning. We're sort of skipping ahead in our messaging and moving to the solution-aware audience first because speaking to the solution often helps us find the problems that our audience struggles with. Also, the solution is where positioning and pricing come into play, and before we get much further, it might be nice to figure out the pricing and positioning for your business model. We'll tackle that problem-aware audience in our next cycle of excellence. The good news is that pricing and positioning are much easier when you use the Creative Freedom business model to assess your offers. Here's why. When you know who you are and how you want to show up in the world, when you have clarity on why you're doing what you're doing and who you want to serve, most of the questions around pricing and positioning are already handled for you. The rest is nuance. It's about profitability and the right fit for your business model. When you look at any brand in the world, it's designed to convey a particular set of emotions or sense of identity. When you think of Apple, you probably think of things like creativity, connectivity, simplicity, sleek design, and high-end pricing. Apple is trying to be an approachable luxury brand. Now contrast that to Tiffany & Company, which doesn't pretend to be approachable in any way. They are luxury 100%. When you visit their website, you don't see prices for any of the items until you click. They sell a set of note cards for $75, 10 note cards for $75. First time I ever taught this lesson, those cards were $50, and that was the lowest priced item in their store. Well, now they offer a jewelry cleaning kit for $35, and they've raised the price on their branded note cards to $75. Now, I don't know about you, but paying almost $8 for a single blank note card seems a bit excessive for an everyday note you're just gonna stick in the mail. But Tiffany's audience doesn't think twice because using a Tiffany branded note card says something about who they are. Tiffany isn't just a luxury brand, it's an affinity brand. Their audience wants you to know that they're loyal to Tiffany. Apple buyers want you to know they're Apple fans. And you don't have to be a luxury brand to be an affinity brand, but all luxury brands are affinity brands. Now, I can go to Walmart, which also owns Asda if you're in the UK, and pick up a set of 10 blank note cards for 10 bucks. And you can't even buy a set of Walmart branded note cards because that's not a thing. People don't shop Walmart because they want people to know they shop there. People shop Walmart for low prices, convenience, or proximity. Walmart is not an affinity brand. Very few low-end businesses are affinity brands. Why? Because as a culture, we don't want to align ourselves to the notion of cheap. There's no prestige in cheap. There's no affinity for cheap. But luxury? We see ad campaigns every day for high-end, drool-worthy imagery. A fancy watch worn by a handsome man who gets the girl. The expensive alcohol in a fancy glass on a beach in some exotic location. These are things to which we, as a culture, aspire. Rightly or wrongly, that is how value and worth are currently established and asserted in our society. When it's something we can be proud of ourselves for, when it's in alignment with cultural prestige values, then we develop an affinity for the brand. Windows isn't an affinity brand. Apple is. Walmart, not an affinity brand. Tiffany is. What do you want your audience to feel about your brand? What does your audience think buying your brand says about them? If you don't know, it's time to start doing some research. Think of 3 to 5 brands that you admire. Write them down, and then you're going to take some time to investigate their branding. These will be your brand models. What kind of people buy their products? What kind of language are they using in their advertising? To whom are they trying to appeal? Even though Apple sells their products in Walmart stores, they're not trying to appeal to Walmart shoppers in their marketing. And Walmart isn't trying to attract Apple buyers in their advertising either. Instead, they focus on low prices, great values, and having everything you need in one place, including iPhones. Different people resonate with different messages. What messages are you resonating with when it comes to your favorite brands? Chances are good those messages are where you'll start with your own company. as a creative entrepreneur, it's rare for you to align with middle of the road marketing and then try to offer high-end products. More often, your marketing will match your affinity. So let's investigate the positioning spectrum. On a scale of Walmart to Tiffany, where do your brand models fall? And where do you want your company to be? If there's a gap between where you are now and where you want your company to be, the fastest and easiest place to start making a change is in your messaging. If your language is very formal and stilted, but you want an approachable brand that feels like your best friend next door, you'll have to loosen up your language and get more informal, or vice versa if you want to be a higher end offering. I've positioned Creative Freedom in the middle of the market, not the highest, most luxurious brand in the world, but not so low that people have no affinity either. I want people to resonate with the Creative Freedom brand and wear our t-shirts when we're ready to launch our line of merchandise. But that can't happen if I'm not clear and consistent with my messaging. So I choose friendly, informal language as much as possible. But I'm not afraid to use big words if it'll help my audience become smarter about their own great work. I want my language to match my essential why and resonate with my right audience. So do you. But as we discovered in our last cycle of excellence, we need to focus on our messaging on different aspects at different stages in the customer journey. So it's as much about content as it is about tone. Tone needs to stay consistent throughout the customer journey, but the content will shift depending on which stage of the journey your buyer is at. If you recall the stages of the journey, our solution-aware folks are at a point where they're ready to buy. They know they have an issue that they want help with, and now they're trying to decide why they should buy from you. In the advertising world, there's a concept called AIDA, A-I-D-A, attention, interest, desire, and action, that reflects the different kinds of messaging to share at the different stages of marketing. In the solution-aware phase, we want to focus on messaging that creates desire and inspires them to take action, that is, to buy from you. And this is where you share the specific ways you and your offers can help them get what they want. You want to express how you solve their problem, how they can work with you, and the kinds of results you can get them. But you don't want to say, I can get you this result. That's too overt. And it's hard to believe unless you have evidence to back it up. So that's what you'll be sharing, your evidence and your sales stories. For example, if you're a product-based business, your language needs to focus on the qualities of the item. Use adjectives and language that matches the tone of your brand positioning. Tiffany, for example, describes their $660 sterling silver ballpoint pen like this. Drawing inspiration from the iconic Tiffany logo, the Tiffany Ampersand collection features a graphic interpretation of the ampersand symbol. Crafted in sterling silver, this classic ballpoint pen adds a hint of luxury to every day. Now look at the adjectives. Iconic, classic, luxury, and the verbs and helpers. Graphic interpretation, crafted, drawing inspiration. This isn't just a silver ballpoint pen. It's an iconic, luxurious, sterling silver ballpoint pen crafted with the iconic logo element. And that's why people will pay $660 for it. People who buy a Tiffany pen don't just want a pen. They want a fancy pen, a sterling silver pen, a Tiffany pen that speaks to their wealth, their prestige, their status. So they're buying status, not just a pen. They wouldn't pay $660 for any old sterling silver pen. Heck, you can buy them on Amazon for $32. That's right. People are willing to pay 20 times more for the Tiffany-inspired logo pen than a generic sterling silver ballpoint pen. But not everyone will. Only the true Tiffany fans will, and that is why they can charge that much. They've built brand equity. They've been around almost 200 years, so they've got a lot of it. But the reason they've got that equity is because they've decided to become known for a certain thing, and they've stayed consistent with their tone and messaging for nearly two centuries. Your pricing isn't for everyone. It's for your best clients, your raving fans. And not everyone's going to pay your prices, and that's okay. The right people will. So use case studies, examples, tips, rave reviews from your fans and customers to help people decide to buy from you. And make sure you're using language that matches the tone of your brand positioning. A simple place to start is your frequently asked questions. What are the questions people constantly ask you about your offers? What are the questions they should be asking but aren't. You can also compare your offers to someone else's offers and tell potential buyers why they should choose you over the competition, and maybe when they ought to choose someone other than you. Now, these are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to content creation for people at the solution-aware step on the journey. These folks just need a little nudge to buy from you, and your messaging can be the nudge that they need. So your assignment is to find your brand models and do the research exercise I walked you through in today's lesson. Then review your offers and consider if the pricing and positioning match your values and beliefs and where you want to fall on the affinity spectrum. If you find your pricing is too low or too high compared to the market expectations, make decisions about what to change to keep your business healthy. Now, for extra credit, consult the content marketing ideas list and start creating content you can share with your audience to help them at the solution-aware stage of the journey. Whether or not you share it is up to you, but starting to create a stockpile of content will go a long way toward helping you market your offers when you're ready. In our next lesson, we're going to pull apart your beliefs and drill into your essential why. And you've already done the preliminary work, but now it's time to go deeper to start building your company culture in a way that engages and nourishes your core audience. And I will see you there.